If you open your Bibles to Mark chapter 4, I encourage you to read along the following week or read ahead. That is, and we'll be covering like half chapters at a time, if possible. Yet, I don't want to go in too deep that, you know, after a while you're like, you're driving us crazy. I don't want to do that either. But to get whatever the Holy Spirit wants to show us about the Lord in our lives, so that we can, from here, like Vanessa takes it to those kids where she's working at. You know, that's why we're here. You know, because we can absorb all this and get all saturated and heavy and not share it if we're not careful. But we need to heed and be careful what we do listen to. If you hear me, and I say this, if you hear me say something, it's like, that's not what the Bible is saying, Phil. You need to talk to me. You need to tell me. Because I don't want to give you something you go, you're like, you know, be like the Bereans. You know, they're always checking out Paul. What would you say, Paul? And they'd go back and they're like, okay. Checking it out. Let's pray real quick. Lord, we thank you for your word. We just ask you, Lord, to open it up to our hearts and cleanse us and wash us. It says that your love, your word edifies us and builds us up. Not just capture this as knowledge and we go and show off to other brothers or to the world and with a motive that is not of yours, but the motive of love in our heart. That others may know you and come to know you and to have a relationship with you, to have peace with you. Open our hearts tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. It talks about here that he, our Savior, talked in parables at this time in teaching the multitudes. One, the multitudes had grown that he had to get away in certain places, either on high places or here as he's getting on a ship, on a boat. And he has to speak to them so much. Right here, he's coming against the kingdom of this earth. He is going to speak things against the enemy. And it's not on a level of a college professor. This teaching that he's giving, or this parable that he's giving, is not to deny others that I don't want you to know this. I don't want you to know the details of this. So I'm saying it in parables. No, a parable is to bring it out. To bring out what? To bring out a truth. This is what he's bringing out. And this is what he desires to give us. And from here, even from here, it is a key. It's like looking at a map and you have a legend on it. And that legend tells you and explains to you every part of the map, whatever little thing. There's a little, for instance, on a highway, you have a rest area. And the mark there is for rest area. And here he's giving you and I a little legend or a little description of what words mean what in the parables. But you know, the reason he had given these, because he wanted those that were going to receive to be able to understand. No, I don't know how long ago it was, but it was my daughter Holly that, you know, looked at me. She says, Dad, sometimes after a while, all we hear from you is, and we just, excuse me. It's like, you ever watch Charlie Brown? He's all like, wah, 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 wah. And that's what she said. That's what we hear from you, Dad. And sometimes our hearts, or even the unbeliever, or the believer, when he hears the word, it's that, I don't hear you. I'm not hearing the Lord. There's dullness in my life that has to be removed. And that's by hearing the word of God. And therefore, when Holly spoke that to me, you know, years ago, and I'm like, okay. And how many times our Savior looks at us and tells us in His Word? And we're like, this is not to convict us, or I'm not trying to do that to any of you. But it's like, where is our heart tonight? Because there are many phases that the heart will be exposed here. You know, where is my heart tonight? I won't pick on Pete, but I'll pick on myself. You know, where is my heart? Am I fruitful? Am I bringing forth fruit? What is going on in my life? And I enjoyed the worship tonight where, you know, those songs of encouragement, you know, in my darkest hour or whatever, wherever you might be at, you know, be encouraged, if anything, by God's Word, by what He's trying to tell us tonight. And we are here in the fourth chapter of Mark, and it says that again He began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to Him, so that He got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Again, He's setting up, the writer here is setting up where He is teaching at. And Jesus is going to begin on, it says here, you know, if you look at your sections in your Bible, that He is going to begin teaching a parable. And again, I said, it's not at the level of a college grad or whatever. You know, it's at a level of a farmer, if you want to look at that. And I'm not saying farmers are down there, but this is where, you know, if there was a farmer here, he'd probably come up here and smack me around. Especially, he's been to college and all that. But he is going at the level that is very, very plain. Now, how many of you know someone has been saved through the King James Version of the Bible? It wasn't the NIV, the nearly inspired version, or whatever version. It's that the Word of God is spiritually discerned, and it must be the Spirit that speaks to you and I. And here Jesus is beginning to speak this parable, this story, to bring out a truth, to pull it out and give it to whoever hears. It's important when you go evangelizing, when you're on one-on-one evangelism or speaking to a crowd, or this is very important, that you pull out the simplicity of the Word, the basicness of what is in the Word to the people, that they may hear what the Spirit is trying to say to the people. Not what you're trying to dress up and compose and get all that, and you insert sermon fodder and all these things, and you add a chapter just because the reference told you to add a chapter, and then you begin, and then all of a sudden, you're looking at a bunch of holly. You know, I can't take anymore. Give them the whole entire Word as it is, as raw as possible, without dressing this thing up. Pull the truth out of there that the Lord wants you to get. And again, maybe next year or a month from now, you'll reread this again, and then all of a sudden something different will pop out on you. And see what the Lord gives to you or to me. And it says that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then He taught them many things by parables. And He said to them in His teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no crop. But the other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, "He who has ears, let him hear." He puts out the parable. Some of the disciples were like me. And I love my wife, but sometimes it irritates other people. But I love my wife. You tell her something, okay? You say something to her, just like this. So, wait, back up a minute. And I'm glad she asked me these questions at home. And she's a good wife that won't raise her hand right now. And, hey! No, she wants to know. As the disciples later on are like, tell, you need to tell me this right here. And then later on, for his sheep, not for the goat, but for his sheep, he pulls them aside and he unfolds this whole parable to them. So it's not, it is a mystery that is coming out. It is, because it gives you a picture spiritually, especially when you are witnessing and evangelizing what the Lord is doing and what the Lord and what the enemy is doing also. Because I've taught or I have witnessed, street witness, or even on a plane to some people, and it's like, here's this truth. Here is what Christ did. Here is where he came. Here is what he did. And he left. And he left someone here for us, and he's coming back again. Those things that the prophets of old wanted to know are being released when you are sharing Jesus Christ to people. And sometimes they'll sit there and look at you and then say, I want that. I want that, Jesus. And I've sat with my father-in-law and explained him the same way. I've taught it to him. And he'll turn around and just tell me, that was beautiful, but guess what? I can't deal with Jesus being the only way. After the truths and all those things, that he's not spiritually discerned, his eyes are not open, he cannot see or he cannot hear. You are the one that has been given the responsibility. As I am, I give the word that it may fall, that it may go forth. Just as you go to your neighbor or to your coworker, to that guy on the street, maybe there's a homeless person you run into, whatever it may be. There's this truth in here. I have enough here to take out a bear. There's this truth I have in my life that I know is going to work for you, that is going to strengthen you, and this truth that you want to share and give out to people. Here's this parable. You know, saying, what truth is it? What is it? You're seeing what God is going to do and what the enemy does. Your responsibility, as Paul said in the Corinthians, some water. What was the other one? Some plant. But God gives the increase. Here Jesus is like pouring out from him. He's not grabbing this over here. This is my mystery that I'm releasing to you. This is my parable that I'm bringing out to you. So that you, it says here that you take heed what you hear. What do I do with it? I apply it to my life. Or I'm full and I release it out to others in this whole universe, in this world. You know, there's a desire once you have this word in here that I need to share it with someone. Someone needs to know about this. And here, as we look at the parable, one, there's a sower, went out to sow, and it happened that he sowed on different soils. But let me go ahead and read further and then we'll go through as much as possible over this parable. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you stand or understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises, the word for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for the other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So here is the explanation of the parable thus far. The sower, the word, or the seed. Correct? He went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. What is the seed? The word of God, it explains it. It is the word of God. Now, what was Jesus considering the word of God then? The whole plan of the Old Testament. How God's desire for man to know God, to have a relationship with Him. To start off like in the book of Genesis, God wanted a relationship with man, thus He became friends with Abraham, the nation of Israel, a small, peculiar people. And he desired for that, you know, that word, that whole plan. From there began the whole plan. From there bringing that Jesus would come. And therefore, also the New Testament being established. That word going out. So the sower comes and his purpose is what? He's sowing, even as Jesus right there. He is putting out the word to them. The seed, as he explains it to his disciples or to the 12 and those that wanted to know even more. He says he went out and as he sowed that some fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. The birds of the air represent who? Satan. Comes and devours it. I'm reminded of the other parable, the other story of Jesus talked about the heart being cleansed. And the heart was cleansed and the person just didn't do anything about it. And therefore, when this house was cleansed or the heart was cleansed, the enemy came back in even sevenfold stronger and moved back in. Therefore, here Satan comes and takes the word. And it says that, you know, some fell by the wayside and the birds of the air came and devoured. You know, I'm reminded of Greg Laurie, you know, how he does his outreaches, the Harvest Crusade. And how the enemy must work also there. I am not giving credit to the enemy. Believe me, I'm not. But it gives me an understanding when someone is not receiving God's word, when he is not accepting. Not that he has to show, or I'm discerning, or I'm trying to look at it with a spiritual eye, that he is not receiving what, like Greg Laurie is speaking or teaching or giving an invitation. And he is given the word of God. And you can imagine as those birds come by and steal that seed, the word. Then I'm not surprised by, why aren't you listening? Why didn't you respond? Why didn't you go forth? Why didn't you go and respond to God's word? That the word goes out and the enemy comes by and steals it. No wonder when you go in an effort, I'm going on this trip to Peru. Daily I'm praying, hourly I'm praying. Because why? The enemy wants to insert himself continually. Continually. He'll want to get in here. Get in a fight with Robin. Now he comes by and steals the... What is going on here? The birds that come in there and dive. I don't get along with my wife. We go on a venture. We go on a trip. We want to set up a Bible study. We want to read the Bible together. And it's like everything breaks loose at times. We were going to pray. We were going to read. And it happens, we just started yelling at each other, arguing and bickering. In the same way, there's a battle for the heart of humanity. And that never, never will end until the Lord says, it's time. It says here, and some fell by the wayside. There I want to just throw away all those arguments. Jesus is not here like, you must be like, on this side or on that side. You know, I'm an Arminianist or I'm a Calvinist. You know, no, he's like putting the word out there straight. If you don't get this, the enemy has taken it from you, or you have hardened your heart, or all those things have happened or occurred in your life, or in the life of a person that doesn't respond to God's word. I love that the disciples always were like, will you tell us what's going on? And Jesus was not a evil person. Here's a parable. If you didn't get it, go away. It was like, let me explain to you. This is how it is. This is what this means. And you're not on your own. Everything that he has written in here, he has given us the Holy Spirit to understand, to be able to discern what we are reading and studying. And so therefore, that some of the birds of the air came and devoured it. It says some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of the earth. And we see this as he is unfolding it like a farmer. At times, my heart can be this way. I just like, I'm in a hurry. I'll just read this for, because get God off my back. Yeah, I got to read. And it's like, it just, but here we are talking about, also, mainly we are talking about the condition of man's heart. And said, especially those that, and I'm not bashing or don't want to bash those that have revivals and stuff like that. But at times it's like, what is the purpose of it? You know, the word comes in and they're revived for a week. And then after that, it's like the life doesn't change. Now, I'm not saying all churches, but I'm looking at where the word will fall and just drift out of the way. because it becomes like physical, you know, spiritual gyrations, and you just live in the emotion, and it's really not what revival ought to be. But where the word is falling here, it's like it had no root. It didn't take. It says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Naturally, you look at it. You know, we look at our heart, if not careful. Or if Jesus is looking at the heart, does he know that that heart is thorny? Does he know that, things can be choked? Of course he does. But by some chance or by some opportunity, whatever heart it falls on, it has the opportunity. It's been given an opportunity to receive Christ. He is not, here is evident that, well, what about this person? What about that person? He is giving every heart an opportunity at whatever condition they're in to receive him. But it says here, you know, that it choked it and yielded no crop. We if you ever planted, if you ever had a garden, not all your seeds will work. But there's a responsibility, and Jesus wanted the world to know about him, about salvation, and he's going out there. Here's the word. Here are the seeds. And I know the enemy's going to try to steal. And I know there's conditions out there that won't allow me to dwell in their heart, or for the word to dwell in their heart. But the seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I'd love to have that all the time. Yeah, at least give me 30 at times. At times, you know, we go through these deserts, these valleys. We find ourselves, man, I think the Lord would say, keep putting that word. Keep pouring that seed. Keep staying. And if 30 is what you produce, he's not back there. I am so disappointed with this 30 stuff. You know, and the guy, 60, he's almost there. But that 100 guy, I love him so much. I love Phil. That's where our heart's at. Not everybody's going to give 100. It's evident here. Some 30, some 60. I'll put 32. At least what? It has produced fruit. And that's what a good, what does he call it here? And some, but other fell on good ground and yielded a crop. At least have a crop. At least have that. That we can, you know, what do you consider the fruit? What do you consider the crop? I'm amazed at my little granddaughter, the greatest granddaughter around ever. And Emmy's like, you know, I'll give her a word and talk to her and try to encourage her, go this way and that way. And then her Uncle Joe comes by. Hey, you want dinner? Yeah, that's it. And what does Emmy do? She's gone. She went to dinner. But I start thinking about it. I see her mind. I see what. And then I find her looking at me and grabs my pinky or my hand. And it's like, I think I'm okay, Grandpa. I think I'm all right. And then I say, Lord, this is what you've given me. That she may know that I study this and give this to you, and it encourages me one day, then I will sit with her and say, hey, This is what's up with Jesus. This is what's up with God. There's this guy that was sowing. He was planting seeds. And you go on and on and on. That she will one day have kids, or she will one day be a professor or something. And it's like, I have the Word of God in me. I have something in you, in me, that is good for you, that you need, that one day you also will know Christ. The Word comes in there to produce fruit. I'm reminded of John Corson's teaching. You do not see an apple tree out there just, I want to produce apples. Or the peach trees, like, oh, I want to produce fruit. Or whatever is it, you know, out there that produces. Let the Word of God come. Fill your heart, fill your mind, fill your being. And it has to, it's guaranteed that it will produce fruit. But I want to be the greatest fruit. I want to be Billy Graham, too. That may not be what the Lord wants you to be. But you're producing fruit. One of my desires is, you know, one of the things that we read in Philippians, let your kindness or your gentleness be known to all men. I want to produce the fruit of being kind to my wife, kind to my neighbor, rather than, well, I've memorized the Bible, I can evangelize, I can go do mission trips, and just look at my wife sometimes like, what is your problem? But that's what she says to me all the time. But you understand what I'm saying? There has to be a fruit. Or here it says, a crop. I was picking figs not too long ago this past summer. And I'm like, there's tons of figs on here. When my friends emailed me, what are you doing that all those fig trees are producing fruit? And I'm like, well, they're my neighbors, but he lets me pick on. I wrote, last year, he about cut the thing in half. He pruned it. I just told him pruning. You know, cut the thorns out. Cut, you know, even Jesus said, come dig it around, dung it, you know, fertilize that thing. And then, you know, pour that Word in there. And it will produce fruit. I know at times when I am not producing fruit. If I'm not producing fruit, I am not into God's Word. I am not studying. I am not praying. You can count on me being called Mr. Cranky if I'm not producing fruit. I either produce fruit or I'm cranky. And, oh, I'll leave that there. But, you know, here it says, you know, that we yield a crop. And that word yield, it just pushes it out on its own. It is what is supernatural. You don't have to get up in front of people and, well, I'm going to get aggressive and be this teacher and be that pastor or be that deacon or be that evangelist and just, no, the yield that's coming out of you. It is that fruit that is coming out, that is being produced. I want my heart, or this field right here, that when our Savior wants to plant something in there, that I be productive, that I not miss an opportunity. Because at times, our hearts, you know, we love the Lord. We live for Jesus. We know the plan. We've accepted Him. We've accepted the grace. But so much cares and the things of this life come and say, hey, this is more important than what Jesus wants you to do. Therefore, the things that are for the Lord are thwarted. They are pushed to the side. and you produce no fruit. These distractions over here, the world, will lessen or take away the fruit that is wanting to be produced. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." I need to know the secret of that. Listen, Phil. Listen up. I don't care where I'm at. I may be in Episcopal church. I've been in some of the churches that, man, I don't know what's going on here, but when they start teaching the word, my ears just, I'm listening. I turn a teaching on. I'm listening. It may be a guy that likes to teach 3 hours a sermon. And it's like, if it's the word of God coming out, my heart's hearing it. I'm hearing it. I'm seeing it. And your ears or your eyes and your being becomes trained in hearing God's word. So what? So it produces life in you. It doesn't matter who is teaching. And the word is coming out. It produces fruit. It yields a crop. If you have ears, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You look at the book of Revelation. Every time he was going to break something new out. He that has an ear, let him hear. To the churches, to the seven churches. He that has an ear, let him hear. Why? He is emphasizing here, this is very important. This is for your life, for your being, for those that you will come in contact with. If you have an ear, pay attention. Pay attention. Listen up. Let your ears like perk up. I'm hearing you. What are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to say to me through reading of your word? Verse 10, but when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." A good leader will always tell you what's going on, what's going to happen, what we have planned, what we're going to do, what has happened. Explains to you every step. Because it is in our nature. Like, you know, you have that child in the back seat and it says, "Are we there yet? Where are we going? What are we doing? What, Dad, what is that? Mom, what are we?" And here he is like, "To you has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God." Everything you need to know of the kingdom of God has been given to us. An evil ruler or teacher or whatever it may be. I'm withholding this. This is private. This is for the top three of the church. This is for the top elite Christians. This is for us. And later on, as we go into next week's teaching, this must come out. This must be taught. And it says, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom. To you, to the believer, to the disciples, to those around him. This has been given to you. A good leader I'm reminded of the words of Jesus, "You no longer need to call me master. Call me friends, or call me friend, because a friend will tell you where he is going." Here is a mystery. Here is something that the men of old wanted to know. They wanted to peek into. What is this that is coming? What is this kingdom? What is this Savior? It has been granted to us. You might be saying, oh, what parable? The farm and the seed and the bad and the stony ground. And is that all you have? Then you have, this has occurred to you. Or to me. How he has desired to give us his word. A mystery. Open and revealed to us. This is how I work. This is how my kingdom works. I'm continually giving the word of God. I am pumping out. I am giving out the word. And this is how it happens. If it falls here on this, it doesn't work. If it falls here, it works for a certain amount of time. But when it falls over here, look what happened. Right there. He pours. That's how it happened. And I think, is that it? This is so silly. And that's where people come to, you know, Christmas and Easter. And that's all they see. Realize what this precious thing that God has given you. Realize that this is the Word of God. And how you hear is going to make a big difference in my life and in your life. To what? And he said to them, he who has ears, let him hear. But to those who are outside, all things come in parable. So that, and then it gives the whole big explanation. Seeing, they may see and not perceive. Why? They have other motives. People come to church sometimes, it's like, man, they have no motive to learn about the Lord. They just want to come here and find a problem with the pastor or the deacon. Or you guys have the Israeli flag. And that's all they do. To them it was not given. I'm reminded when he says, I'm the Lord, I will love him whoever I want to love. Now, I will not get in discussions or arguments. Well, once saved, always saved. Or that, you know. No. This is the way Jesus looked at it. And uncovered and unraveled this plan. It's not very difficult. But it's given to us by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we don't like, well, sorry for you, buddy. You didn't understand, but I did. Therefore, I'm holding on to it. You know, too bad, so sad for you. No. We go back at times. You're like, I bombarded my mother-in-law. And time, every other week, she cussed me out. And my wife knows. And then one, I can't even remember, but I remember the situation where I said, Carolyn, would you like to receive the Lord today? I know you've heard me speak about Jesus many times. And that was one of the times she had slipped out from, you know, having Parkinson's or what was the other. And she could hear me. And then she said, yes, I do. I looked at my wife, she looked at me, and then we looked at her. Are you okay? She said, I said yes, didn't I? And that's when I knew she was okay, because, you know, that was her attitude. And now Kathy's in heaven. Do you continue to go to that Bible, to those three people? You continue, people look at, why are you going to Peru, guys? It's crazy, you're going to get hurt. Just continue to go. Just continue to go. To that one person, that one guy that has told you off, that one guy, you just continue until, I don't know what the Lord's going to do. But you always took that risk, that chance, and say, hey, I got something in me. It's going to eventually, it's going to come across. And God may, and I hope, open your eyes. Paul prayed, pray for us that the gospel may go out freely. Be unchained. Go, the sower just goes out there. Pray for it. Pray for this Sunday that Pastor Robin just, it just comes out. And it nourishes, it cleanses the sheep. It washes the hearts of the people. That some added, I don't know what, he may be walking there. We were just driving by. And just I knew I had to stop by here and hear the word. And hearing, they may hear and not understand, lest they turn and their sins be forgiven them. The key. What's the key here? Lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Repentance, lest they turn and their sins be forgiven. What a deal. Really? It is. That's what he is offering here. Lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. But otherwise, it's like here, you know, to those who are outside, all things come in parables. They're not going to grasp the basic understanding. He said to them, do you not understand this parable? That was a legitimate question. Do you not understand it? I probably would have been at no. How then will you understand all parables? So this is the beginning, the key for the continuous work and word that Jesus had to present to the world. How will you then understand all the parables? How do we grasp it? How do I understand this? And it's evident here in these verses. If tonight we could look at our hearts and say, where is my heart? Where am I at in life? Now, don't do this and get all depressed about it. That's not the intention of the Lord Jesus. That's not it. What's choking the word out of you? What is happening in your life that they may be torn? Or you may be saying, Phil, man, I am at 60% right now. I am going at it. Great. But if your heart is not producing, take inventory and look at Christ. Because if you look at yourself, you're always going to find something. And God's always working on something in our heart. Continuously. Let that happen in your heart and in my heart. Where am I with the Lord? This mystery, this heart that He has given us. Where is it? I have to continue to look at where is my heart at? Where is my life at? My one desire should be that I produce fruit for Him. That should be our top desire, is to produce fruit for Him. To be aligned with Him. To be serving Him. Enjoying Him. To be at peace with Him. Those on the worship team, if you guys would come up. Time goes by quickly. It says, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Inventory the heart. Let us all become fruitful. All of us. every one of us. Let this word work mightily in your heart and in your life. Don't give up hope. Don't walk away. Let the Lord encourage your heart. Our heart can be so cold at times because of the things that happen in life. If it wasn't for the Lord, I have many things. I have tried to destroy my life and my heart to live for Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You for being good to us. Forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us. Wash us with Your blood. Lord, help us to enjoy the rest of the week. Give us the strength to walk and to live for You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.